as you're turning to this letter of the Apostle John, must be taken into account that in the year of 90 AD, when this was thought to have been written, the church was going through much in way of hardship. The infancy of the church from the book of Acts chapter 2 and chapter 3 had been long since passed. The enthusiasm and the zeal of believers began to wane. John, the elder statesman of Jesus Christ, was inspired by the Holy Spirit to pen three little letters, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, for a very, very unique purpose. And as I began to focus upon this passage that God had laid upon our heart, we see here that John, the beloved, had a desire for the brothers and sisters throughout all Asia Minor to be filled with joy. Well, the same holds true today. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has a desire for each and every one of us to be filled with joy, to have peace in our heart, and to be willing to do the things that God would have us to do, so that those that are around us, they too can know the joy of the Lord. The epistle of 1 John, in chapter number 1, we want to begin reading today at verse number 3 and finish up at verse number 7. That which we have seen and heard declared we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declared unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Oh, dear friend, when John penned this passage of Scripture, he was looking at a church that was in decline. I thought about that a great deal these days of late, because you see, dear friend, the church of the living God seems to be in decline in the day and time in which it is that we live. You say, why is that, Brother Lynn? I can tell you today, dear friend, many today don't live all life that is full of joy. The Lord is the same today as He was yesterday, and He will be forevermore, to bring to you and I what it is we need in the day and time in which it is that we live. When John was looking at these churches, he began to see their struggles and their hardships, and his heart, it broke, because you see, dear friend, he loved them, and he cared for them, and he wanted the very best for them. But you see, dear friend, as it was in John's day, and as it is in our day, many people seem to just be going through the motions. We've got complacent from doing the things that God would have us to do. And I can tell you, after a while, if we're just plain church, the joy in our heart will seem to vanish. I thought about that a great deal these days of late. For you see, dear friend, the Lord has a desire to have fellowship with us. He has a desire to commune with us, to bring to us what it is we need in the day and time in which it is that we live. And I thought about how that we today have a relationship with the Father. I pray today that you have a close, affectionate tie to your Lord. I pray today that the manifesting of Jesus Christ is made known in your life, and that the world around you can see the joy of the Lord. And I pray today that your joy is full, and that you today have peace in your heart through and by your relationship with God. Oh, dear friends, when we began to look at John's beautiful epistle, the Lord began to remind us on how that we are to have joy in our heart. He wrote to these churches because he knew that they, like we, can fulfill the will of God in our lives when the joy of God is manifested and displayed in our heart. Paul, this great man of faith, wrote to the church at Ephesus. There in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 13, the Apostle Paul writes, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whosoever doeth make manifest his light." What Paul is saying is that the sin in our lives is brought under conviction. It is made manifest. It's brought about to the forefront of who we are. And Paul is saying this, just as John did. It takes the light of the Lord God Almighty to expose us of the ever ways. And the Lord who loves us, who gives to us and brings to us what we need, has a desire to extract the sin and the things that hinder us, so that our lives can be full of his joy, and that peace can reign in our heart. Oh, dear friends, when John wrote this epistle there in 90 AD, he seen a church that had lost its zeal. He'd seen a church that had lost its enthusiasm. You look around today. I had a meeting with a fellow pastor just the other day. He said, "Brother Lynn, if you see one church, you've seen them all after COVID." You say, "Why is that?" Many today have lost their zeal, lost their enthusiasm, lost their desire. But what saddens me, that many have lost their joy in serving God. Oh, I can tell you today, you can watch church and you can play church. We can do all these things, but they won't bring joy and peace in your life. And the world around you won't see your joy, won't see your love for God, unless we're willing to light Jesus Christ to burn mightily among us. Oh, I tell you today, and I believe Brother Joey read this just a little while ago, a city set up on a hill can't be hid. I tell you today, dear friends, the Lord God Almighty, who loves us and cares for us, has a desire to dispel all the darkness in our lives, to bring about a joy and a peace and a fill us to the brim, so that a lost, dying, and needful world can have a desire to have what we have. You see, dear friends, oh, John, who loved these churches, who desired to be a part of these churches, one of these fellowships, one of these communities and these congregations, to allow God to bless them. For you see, dear friends, when John spoke, he spoke as one who had authority. You see, dear friends, he walked with Jesus on those dusty roads. of Galilee. He crossed the turbulent waters with the Lord. He spoke on the authority of the Holy Spirit. And you see, dear friends, he came as one who humbled himself in love so that they could see the error of their ways and to know that the light and the love of God could bring to them, praise God, what they needed. Oh, I tell you, the Bible says there in verse number 5 of 1 John chapter 1, then this is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you, that God is light, in him dwelleth no darkness. I tell you today, dear friends, the Lord of light, the Lord of love, the Lord of comfort, the Lord of understanding has a desire today to fill you and to bring you, praise God, where you need to be. Oh, as I looked at this and studied this passage this past week, the Holy Spirit began to remind me of the condition. There are the people in John's day, and he began to show me the condition of people in our day. Well, you see, friends, people then, as people today, declare themselves as walking the walk and talking the talk. They want to display joy in a place where there are no joy. I believe that's why that John said in verse 6 of 1 John chapter 1, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Many today are living a lie and allowing Satan to rob them from the joy and from the peace of falling, arisen, glorious, precious Lord. People today are miserable. Miserable. You say, why? Not because of their job, not because of their home, not because of family, not because of friends, but many today are miserable because they don't have a fellowship with God. And their joy is being pulled from them. You say, Brother Lynn, what is the remedy for that? What is the remedy for that? That's what John is declaring. He's declaring the remedy. I thought about this in Jesus' day when he walked the dusty road of Galilee and Judea. When Jesus encountered those that are to be full of joy and full of light. You remember what that Jesus said to the scribes in Matthew 23 in verse 27, Jesus said, woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. You see, dear friends, they looked and projected themselves as people and were full of joy, but I can tell you it was a whitewash. You say, why was it a whitewash? It was because sin was rampant in their lives, and in truth they were robbed of joy, they were robbed of peace, and they fooled the Jewish community. But I tell you today, they could not fool the Lord. The people today that are warming church pews all over our land today, saying, I'm where I need to be, I'm doing what I need to do. Praise God, if that be true, give God glory. But there's many today far removed from being where God would have them to be. Their joy is not full. Their happiness seems to be eluding them. You say, why is this occurring? It's occurring, dear friends, because many have forsook the relationship with Jesus Christ. We today, dear friends, are to be instant in season and out of season. Our joy is to be a part of our lives. It is to be what we are. It's to be the essence of being a follower of God. And I thought about how that John wrote as he did to this church, because he wanted, as we want, to see people grow and thrive in the family of God. It's hard to thrive. It's hard to grow. It's hard to do anything if you and I are not where we need to be. Peter wrote, a fellow co-worker of John. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 8, whom having not seen you loved, and whom through now ye see him not yet believing, it rejoiced with joy unspeakable and full of glory. What's Peter saying? He's saying, dear friend, we have a Lord that ain't being seen with these carnal eyes, but we see him with this spiritual vision. And through our faith and our trust in him, the Holy Spirit, he fills us with joy and brings glory and honor and praise to God. People says, well, seeing is believing. I'm not seeing the risen Lord Jesus Christ these carnal eyes, but I've sure seen him with these spiritual eyes. Oh, praise God. I've seen and I've heard and I feel the feeling of God. The feeling. You see what John was saying? Oh, dear friends, don't miss out. Oh, dear friends, don't do without. Well, you see, dear friends, oh, John would write, but if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. Oh, dear friends, allow the light and the love of God to purge you from the iniquity and the sin and shame that's hindering and harboring itself in your heart, and allow this open spiritual vessel of who we are to be filled with the goodness of God. And then, dear friend, the Lord will use you and make you someone that brings him praise and glory. Oh, when we bring him honor, when we bring him praise and bring him glory, oh, dear friend, not only does it bless us, but it's infectious. It spreads all around. You say, Brother Lynn, you know what you're talking about? Well, dear friends, I don't know much, but a little bit I do know. I can look out sometimes over a congregation and don't pay a whole lot of attention to people's expression, but we can sometimes see misery. We sometimes can see discomfort. You say, Brother Lynn, are you judging? No. We serve a righteous judge. I can't look at your heart. John could not look at these hearts. But the discerning Spirit of God gives what it is we need and inspires us to convey what's needed in our hour. Oh, dear friends, listen. John, this great man of faith, wrote years before as he was reflecting on his travelings with Jesus Christ, would write in the gospel. It bears his name in John chapter 15 in verse number 11. Listen to this, dear friends. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. what he's saying. These are the words of Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has a desire to fill us with joy and peace. That's not to say you're not going to have worries. That's not to say you're not going to have woes. This is not saying that you're going to be happy 24/7. We know that happiness is based on circumstances, but joy comes from the Lord. Yes. I sometimes think in many of the circles we go to, if people had a choice to interact with a jelly-filled donut or a joy-filled Christian, he'd probably take the jelly-filled donut most of the time. But you see, dear friends, what we're about through the Holy Spirit is not something temporal. Praise God, it's something eternal. And that's what Jesus was desiring, that these things have I spoken to you, that my joy, the divine joy of God rests in you. Not just I'm happy I'm going to Dollywood. Not that I'm just joyous I didn't get killed on the log ride. But joy that comes from peace and tranquility and knowing that you have one who sticks closer than a brother. And no matter what may be befalling you, praise his name. You can call out to the one who never turns a deaf ear. That brings joy. That brings joy. I wouldn't have no joy without it. I'd be miserable without it. But praise God, I'm joyous with it. John had a desire for these readers and listeners to embrace that joy. You say, well, Brother Lynn, it's hard. It's hard being full of joy, with being pulled here and being pulled there, and the life stresses seeming to come in every direction upon us. It's hard. Life is hard. But listen to what Christ said. In John chapter 10, in verse number 10, in the discourse of the Good Shepherd, Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy." He's talking about that adversary. He's talking about that one that John is addressing that was robbing the churches of Asia Minor of their joy. But Jesus would go on to say, "I am come." He's among us. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." You see, dear friends, being filled with joy is possible through the light of Jesus Christ our Lord. If we leave today as men most miserable, we can't blame our government. We can't blame society. We can't blame mom and dad, a boyfriend, or a girlfriend, or a job. We have to blame ourselves. If we leave not full of joy, because you see, the Prince of Peace, the giver of joy, is among us today. Jesus was not just rattling, friends, when he said, "I come that they might have life and that they might have it," what? More abundantly. Abundantly. Abundant life comes from joy. Not from circumstances, not from haphazards that come our way, but it comes from joy of having Jesus Christ as our Savior and, praise God, Lord of our lives. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13 reads, "These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." That's the essence of joy. You can't beg, you can't buy, you can't borrow, and you can't steal it. But it's freely given through salvation. You see, dear friends, you can go to Food City or Ingles or Kroger, and I'm bad about getting an item or two. And you know, as soon as I go up to the restaurant, they say, "You got your Kroger's card? You got your Ingles card?" Sometimes I do, but most times I don't. Especially if I go in some places, then they say, "Well, it's probably under a phone number." Well, I'll ramble a couple of phone numbers off. No, it ain't that one. No, it ain't that one. No, it ain't that one. Oh, yeah, that's it. I'm not that worried about saving that 7 cents. I could have done been gone. But you see, God don't work that way. He don't say, "Do I see your salvation card?" He don't ask me to give a number. Oh, praise God. The joy that comes from the Lord is instantaneous to a blood-bought believer. That's joy. That's joy. I'm going to tell you, there've been times I've went into Walgreens and I've kind of dreaded it. Because Angie's got that Walgreens card and she knows all those numbers and all those passwords, and they probably said, "This is the most ignorant man in Clinton." I thought, man, if I could just get my prescription and go, I'd be so happy. But you see, with the Lord, it's joy. It's peace. It's understanding. Listen to this before we close. John's letter to this church there in Asia Minor, 1 John, in chapter number 5, listen to what he would write. "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him, that is true, and we are in Him, that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." 1 John 5:20. Listen, this is true. Joy comes to those who believe. Those who seek will find. Those who knock, it is open unto them. That's how quick joy is. You don't have to be like me going to Walgreens or one of the stores in Clinton. You don't have to dread. They don't have to be a dread. All they have to be is a willingness. A willingness to have that joy. So you see, dear friends, the Lord today wants to fill you with joy. He wants you to be a joy-filled Christian in a hellish, demonic world that's falling apart around you. He has a desire for joy to reign. You say, "Well, Brother Lynn, I'm just not happy." Well, listen, this happiness is based on circumstances. I had things that happened to me last week that I wasn't too happy about. But I'm here. Praise be to God. I tell you, I had Kids for Christ last week, and I was as nervous as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. I usually am every time that I get before 2 or 200. You might say, "Well, Brother Lynn, why are you so nervous?" I don't know. I've done this for many, many years, and my knees knock just as hard today as they did many decades ago. But I tell you, we had a spirit-filled meeting at the school, to God be the glory. And when I was leaving, there was a little boy. He couldn't be no more in the second grade. He came up to me and he tugged on my arm and he wouldn't tell me something. And I know he was going to be late for class, and I didn't want him to be in trouble. I didn't want to be in trouble. I just wanted everything to go, oh, it was good. But he had to tell me this. And he was going on and on and on and on and on about a Bible story that he heard. And I figured he probably heard it at VBS or some outdoor Bible club or maybe in Sunday school, I don't know. But at first, I couldn't really make out what he was talking about. He was talking so fast.
He was trying to get it in there. And I finally discovered he's talking about Joshua. And boy, when I started to get it, when he's talked about them walls coming down. And that joy. Now listen, this is divine joy that fills one's heart. Words can't express it. And I thought about that when I'd been studying this message. Been studying on it on and off all week. And you know, I believe, dear friends, I believe this, that God gives us these glimpses and these little bits of this true divine joy to put things in a proper perspective. Now, this little guy's theology and his doctrine probably wasn't the soundest. His delivery sure wasn't the most eloquent. But boy, his enthusiasm and his love for that knowledge of God's Word, it put everything else in its place. And I thought, thank you, Jesus. Because I was a joy-filled preacher when I left that place. Heck, poor Joan Phillips had to sign me out of the office. I was a waltzing right on out. She said, I'll sign you up, Brother Lynn. I said, yeah, I'll do that. Praise be to God. My prayer is today, dear friends, that you're full of joy. Doesn't take nothing great. Doesn't take nothing special. Doesn't take nothing earth-shattering. It's those little things that God does that reminds us of who we are, what we are, and praise God what we're a part of. Because we're a part of something good and something glorious. Let's stand to our feet.